Welcome to another one of our podcasts brought to you by MichaelGrinder.com. I'm here with Sharon Saylor from www.impressionengineers.com.
Welcome to the third podcast in a series of podcasts that Michael and I have been doing on his latest work, The Elusive Obvious. The Elusive Obvious is based on his 40-year study on four continents of cross-cultural nonverbal communication. In the first part of the series, Michael described for us how to observe and understand nonverbal communication in a variety of cultures. In the second podcast, Michael gave us a wonderful description of his recent trip to Brazil and some observations he made about the nonverbals of the Portuguese-Brazilian culture. In this podcast, we will be talking about the 21 nonverbal patterns Michael calls the Pentimento skills. These skills have been proven to be cross-culturally accurate. Michael, thanks for having me back. It's a pleasure to talk to you again about the elusive obvious. Since our last meeting, I did have a question. The elusive obvious goes into great detail of describing the 21 nonverbal, cross-culturally accurate communication patterns. Does the same patterns hold if a person is originally from one culture and is currently living in another?
What you're alluding to is a huge question that is best answered by, we have many cultures that we operate from. Your age, your gender, your region, your ethnicity, your level of education, whether you were more rural or urban, make a huge difference in terms of the way you operate from. So yes, each one of us has many, many cultures. So if someone comes from another country and they have lived here for any length of time, they will now have the choice of operating from their previous culture or their current culture that they're in, or a blend between both. And so trying to figure out, when you're watching someone else, how to interpret their nonverbals, that's really important. So we have to apply the concept of baseline behavior that we previously said you have to watch the baseline behavior of a whole culture. You literally have to apply it to each person. And so as you watch an individual, what is the frequency of their eye contact? How often do they blink? Do they tend to have their eyes bulge out? How about their voice pattern? Do they tend to talk fast or slow? Do they tend to pause a lot or not pause very much? Do they tend to have kind of a flat voice, or do they have their rolling kind of voice? Do they tend to gesture a lot or not gesture very much? Do they tend to have their hands gesture close to their torso or farther away? Do they stand with the weight on both feet or tend to stand with the weight on one foot more than the other? How close do they stand to another person? Example, when you compare an Italian and a German interacting within their own cultures, the Italian will stand about 5 inches closer with another Italian than a German would talk with another German. So we have to calibrate both the culture and the person. So what would we say about an Italian that's living in Germany? We would have to just watch that person and be sensitive in terms of what their baseline behaviors are.
If I'm talking to someone from another culture, do I duplicate their distance and their eye contact, or is it better that I just maintain my own?
That's a big, big topic. Most books would indicate when you match this other person, you have more of an opportunity to influence the pace of the conversation. You have the person maintain more of a cooperative spirit between you and the other person. What we would recommend in the elusive obvious is, yes, the idea of matching the other person, pacing the other person, mirroring the other person are important. But if you look at all the nonverbals of what they do with their eyes, their voice, their body, and breathing, the time that it's most important for you to mirror and match the other person is only when their breathing is such that they're not getting enough oxygen to their brain. If they're doing fine, then you can be yourself and they can be their selves, and you'd both do well.
Thank you, Michael, for giving us a better understanding of cultures and how we can use nonverbal communication to lead to better understanding. It was fascinating as always. By the way, Now that you've finished the elusive obvious, what is Michael Grinder and Associates up to these days?
Sometime about 2005, how silly I was to be trying to write about nonverbals. You have to see nonverbals. You have to hear nonverbals. So we've been trying at michaelgrinder.com, we've been trying to move more towards a multimedia approach, such as this podcast that we're doing right now, so that people can, with their busy lives, take a chunk with them and have the opportunity to reinforce their learning.
I can see that in the Elusive Obvious album. It's a very big departure for Michael Grinder and Associates. Here I see you have the book, DVD, an audio CD, the laminates, and even flashcards. This is great, Michael. Tell me more.
So the album is a real nice departure from writing a book. It now has the components of the flashcards, which has the basic components of the whole book. And on each flashcard, on one side, it will tell you what the concept is. And on the back side, it will actually have a graphic of it. It's a little stick figures of people doing the nonverbal on the front side. We also went to the idea of making sure that there's a DVD.
It sounds as if the Elusive Obvious album, Michael, is the culmination of your idea of implementation, coming away from your trainings and really taking the time to learn it and implement it, not just spending a couple of days getting all jazzed up about it, but actually doing it and using it.
Absolutely. What we've done is our commitment as a company is to try to reverse the trend of overtraining and underimplementing by making sure that we give people the support they need to actually implement and incorporate the different skills into their world. So, as you mentioned, go to our website, www.michaelgrinder.com, free resources.
That's great. I don't know how many times I've come away from taking trainings completely jazzed and very excited, and then 3 or 4 days later, it just begins to fade away. But here, you've put it all together to where we can actually do the implementation. We have the reminders to keep us going.
And what's amazing about the Elusive Obvious is there's only 21 things you can do with your nonverbals. Previously, when you read a book, it says, pay attention to body language. But it was always elusive in a bad sense. Now it's elusive in a positive sense because it's obvious. Here's 3 things you can do with your eyes, 3 things you can do with your voice pattern, 7 things you can do with your body in terms of body posture and gestures. And then it goes into the whole area of breathing. And one of my favorites is pattern number 21, how to pause and look intelligent. Something we all want to do. And at the same time, the mechanics of it are laid out in a step-by-step process.
I know, Michael, you just saw me let out a little chuckle there when you mentioned pause and look intelligent. That's the first pattern you taught me the very first day we met. That one simple change in my behavior, just learning to keep my mouth shut while I was thinking, was what fast-tracked me in understanding the power of nonverbal communication and your work, Michael. In going through the EO album, I've noticed that you've taken into consideration every learning style. There's something for everyone in this new concept of yours, putting it all together. It's fantastic. That's about all the time we have today. Thank you for listening. If you'd like more information regarding the contents of this podcast, please contact us via michaelgrinder.com. This podcast is the copyrighted material of Michael Grinder and Associates, Battleground, Washington, USA.